Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by Upside. Guys, I discovered something really big. The best new way for you to buy travel. It's called Upside.com. Here's why I love it and why everyone I tell loves it too. Every time you buy a trip at Upside, you save a ton of money. And they give you an Amazon gift card worth $100, $200, even $300 every time. The way they do it is really clever. Upside bundles your flights and hotel together for one low price. Bundle pricing saves money, especially on business travel, so Upside gives you free Amazon gift cards. I'm telling you, if you're a frequent business traveler, your company saves a ton of money, and you can get thousands a year just for buying your air and hotel together at Upside. Plus, you still get all those miles. And check out what we got for you. Use the code PMT, and you're guaranteed to get at least a $200 Amazon gift card your first trip. The code PMT gets you at least a $200 Amazon gift card free. How can you not do it? It's a no-brainer. Save big on travel and get a big gift card every trip. Upside.com. That's Upside.com. Put in that promo code PMT. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. Today's episode is also brought to you by Better Call Saul. It is back tonight. The debut of Better Call Saul Season 3. The series takes place roughly 5 years before Saul Goodman meets Walter White. Saul is known as Jimmy McGill. Jimmy is a more or less law-abiding small-time attorney hustling to champion his underdog clients, build his practice, and somehow make a name for himself. We are all Better Call Saul fans. We're all Breaking Bad fans. You got to watch this because guess what? Gus Fring is back. Mike, Hector, Gus, they're all there. It's some of your favorite characters. It's your favorite show, Better Call Saul. It premieres tonight, Monday, April 10th at 10 o'clock, 9 Central. That's Monday tonight at 10 o'clock, only on AMC. Check out Better Call Saul. You will not be disappointed. AMC. Let's go. Fight!
It's Part of My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Monday, April 10th. We have lost Tony Romo, and we have officially lost Sergio Garcia. All of our chokers are going away from us.
It's very sad. Sergio, his meltdowns were some of the best entertainment that you could ever hope
ever.
For. And he had to screw it all up by making that damn putt. He tried to give it away, too.
He did.
He tried his very hardest to Sergio the shit out of it.
Yes. Multiple occasions.
Yes. So, I get it's a little bit of sweet revenge for the Spanish Armada. He took down Rose. That was a long time coming. The British they've been putting it to Spain for a while.
Yes, but you heard Jim Nantz say that Justin Rose looked like he tweaked his back. The old, we call that the old Steph Curry. As soon as you're about to falter, ooh, my back.
So, here's a question. Did Sergio win it? Or did Rose lose it?
Mm.
And what does this mean for Sergio's legacy?
Sergio is now a Masters winner. The first time he's ever won a major, which is crazy because I don't know if you remember the quote he had a few years ago where he basically was like, I'm a loser and I've had my chances, but I keep getting in my own way and I'll never win.
Soy una perdedor.
Yes, exactly. Beck.
Yes.
But I'm gonna
plant my flag in the ground right now and call it. I actually think Sergio is going to repeat next year.
Okay.
I think he's going back-to-back Masters.
Ooh.
Reason why, Wednesday night, they do the Champions Dinner.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have everybody thrown off their schedule because they're going to eat at like 11:45 at night. That's how the Spanish do it.
Yeah.
Too much sangria and paella and tapas.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Tha-tha
music.
I actually am not ready to say that Sergio won the Masters. I think we should call some of the governing bodies and report Sergio just to make sure. Because, as you know, we're golf guys.
That's a great idea.
We're the biggest golf guys that we know.
Mm-hmm. I'm more of a rules guy of really any sport. But golf is the only one that lets you go out of your way to be a dick to the athletes.
Fun little anecdote that we never shared. When we were down in Phoenix doing the interviews at spring training, we had a couple hours free, and we actually, part of my take, decided to go golfing. And mm-hmm. we golfed 9 holes. I think I sat in the cart for the last 3 holes and just gave up. We all really sucked. Uh-huh. We're golf guys.
Yep, and in true golf fashion, we sucked real hard, and then we drove to the last tee, and then I teed off and hit by far my best shot of the day. Yeah. I was ready to just quit golf forever, and then my last shot was good, and I'm like, well, now I have to keep playing
this
sport.
All right, so let's, you know what, let's do it. Let's give a call. Let's give a call to a couple of these places.
Let's call the USGA.
Thank you for calling the USGA Rules Department. We're sorry we missed your call. Please leave your name, number, and a brief message, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, yeah, this is PFT Commenter. I'm calling from Pardon My Take. I just wanted to let you know I observed Sergio Garcia breaking wind on the 7th tee, and it was during Rose's backswing, and he didn't apologize for it. I feel like that's at least 2 strokes.
Also suck our dicks.
Oh, also Sergio pushed Dustin Johnson down the stairs to get him out of the way, so that's the only reason he won. So might want to look into that. Thanks.
This is Augusta National.
Okay.
Augusta National Golf Club.
Hi, I would like to put in a formal rulings violation on Sergio Garcia on the 7th hole on Friday. I think he missed his drop, and I'd like them to look into that before they give him the green jacket.
Yes, sir. One moment.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, I was calling because we wanted to report a rules violation by Sergio Garcia on Friday on the 7th hole.
It appears that he broke wind and didn't apologize profusely enough to his playing partner. Also, his fiance's shorts were not, they didn't follow the fingertip rule. They were too short.
You're just talking to me now.
Oh, did we lose you?
All right, I would like them to look into Sergio's rounds. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to live in a world where Sergio Garcia is a Masters champion.
Neither am I. We need to stand up for what's right. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I feel like they're going to investigate. One of my other favorite parts of Masters weekend is how much the announcers know about the particular like parts of the green. Mm-hmm. Like a shot will land within 5 feet of the cup, and then Nick Faldo will be like, oh no, this is a terrible shot. It's going to roll backwards 40 yards into a bear trap.
Oh, this reminds me of 1983 with Luis Olazabal and how he couldn't get out of that same exact spot.
Yeah, the greens at Augusta are wild. It looks like a great shot, and then next thing you know, it's back where he hit it from.
Right, and my other favorite thing about Augusta now is Jordan Spieth shitting all over himself in the final round. So that's become an actual tradition.
Well, it's
Sergio wins Masters, Jordan Spieth, spin zone for Jordan Spieth, by the way. When you don't win the Masters, you don't have to take off your hat and show everyone that you're 23 years old and already balding.
And have that weird golf tan.
Yeah. No, so he gets to keep the hat on. So it's actually, like, if you're Jordan Spieth, you already have one, right? So what's the point? Like, I mean, until you get the hair plugs, until you're ready to get to take the leap and get the hair plugs, maybe just keep losing Masters so you don't have to take the hat off.
Also, let's talk about how this is continuing the Under Armour curse. Because remember, that's a real thing.
Yep.
Steph Curry.
Yep.
And, well, let's just flip it all on its head right now, because you mentioned this earlier, but the Cavs won, the Cubs won, Sergio won.
Sergio won. Tony Romo retired.
Tony Romo hasn't thrown an interception in over a year.
Yeah, Tony Romo is going to be in a Super Bowl eventually.
Yeah.
CBS, I don't know when they get the next Super Bowl.
Yeah, Caps year.
Yeah,
Caps next
year. It's everything is It's one of those weird. This is like the sign of the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's squirrels running around, fat squirrels, and you're like, uh-oh, here comes a bad winter. Well, guess what?
The Farmer's Almanac is freaking the hell out right
Sergio
now.
Sergio Garcia wins. Well, guess what? The zombies are about to take over, and the world's going to stop existing.
And we alluded to this earlier, but the Masters weekend is the best nap weekend of the year, in my opinion. I was watching it today. I was supposed to come into the studio like 3 hours before I actually got here because I took a legit 2 hour nap.
You did.
It was awesome. It was great. And I was thinking that instead of like a phone sex hotline for dads, there should just be a nap hotline where they 1-900 big naps.
It's just the Masters music. You call
it up and it's the Masters music and Jim Nancing. Hello, friends.
Yeah.
He's like, oh yeah.
The sound of the ocean for a baby.
Yeah.
Is what the Masters music is for any man over 50 years old.
Yep.
We also had some of the greatest sportsmanship of all time. I don't know if everyone caught that, but Sergio and Justin Rose coming down the last few holes, they were like rooting for each other almost to a sickening point.
Mm-hmm.
They were high-fiving each other. They were basically cheering each other on.
In
it was gross.
In Europe, a high five is like giving the guy the finger, though. Yeah. So it's like they were saying, "Hey,
it was
you.
Like Little League baseball, like where everyone gets to play and all, and like everyone has to say like the scout's honor after."
Mm-hmm.
It was gross. And we even had Mike Greenberg getting in. Did you?
I know.
He said the F word.
He said freaking. Yeah. No, I love the sportsmanship. Actually, it reminds me of hockey.
Yes.
And so in hockey, you know, they do the Swedish tradition in all of sports, which is the handshake line. You don't see that in any other sport.
Nope.
So they were getting a little bit into hockey culture, which I like, but the handshakes were getting kind of aggressive towards the end to the point where they're like, I'm going to be sportsmanlike about this, but I'm also kind of trying to hurt you.
It was, it was like a handshake.
Be real shame.
Chicken, right.
Real shame if you were to jam a finger in this handshake.
Maybe that's how real Justin Rose hurt his back.
Well, we know, he obviously didn't win on his own merits. He had to make Justin Rose lose.
Right, exactly. Speaking of hockey, let's talk a little hockey. We have some NHL playoffs, finally. It's coming up this week. The standings, as of this recording, I don't know if they're officially set. I think we have a bunch of first-round matchups. I know the West is set, and the Blues and the Wild are playing. The Blackhawks and the Preds are playing. I can't remember who else
is playing.
So that's
the second-place bracket is the West. Got it.
Okay. And then... What?
Was second that? Place to the Bruins.
Yeah, I think the Bruins are playing the Capitals. So
no,
we get an inner.
I think the Caps are playing the Leafs.
Oh, okay.
So Bruins lucked out on that one.
Yeah.
Although I am confident. If I was looking at the playoff picture the other day, and I was like, I would rather play the Leafs just because Rask is a goaltender that has it in him
correct.
To become that
stand
asshole.
On his head.
Yeah, goalies stay on their head, take that Adderall before the playoff starts. And he's the kind of guy that can just like shut him out three games in a row.
I actually caught some of the Maple Leafs Penguins game on Saturday night when the Leafs clinched the playoffs. It was awesome. I'm gonna go against our country right now, but hockey playoffs in Canada, that crowd, I mean, it's basically like live or die because they don't have anything else.
Right, usually
it's,
they, die,
it's
though.
Drake and the Raptors losing in the first round. That's the only two things that Toronto has. And then Joe Carter in the early 90s. So the Leafs are a big fucking deal.
Yeah.
And now they're back in the playoffs. It was an awesome – it's fun to watch like a scene like that where
look
people are just losing their minds.
Look at you rooting for the storyline like a big J.
Just saying. It's a great storyline.
I'm still hoping the greatest storyline of all would be if every single Canadian team lost in the first round.
I don't think that's possible because I think the West, I think there's going to be a matchup. But
DQ'd.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, DQ, both teams cheating.
Yeah. We also are going to have some hockey. I know a lot of people are like, hey, we need more hockey talk. Guess what? We are going to have a lot of hockey talk because it's hockey playoffs time. So we will have many, many hockey guests.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call it many.
Many
multiple.
People are saying we're going
more
to
than
be
two.
Almost too many hockey guests.
Maybe a little Jeremy Roenick coming
Ooh.
Up sometime
Ooh.
Soon.
Mm.
I don't know. Going to have to wait.
Hey. You're on your honor now, listeners. Do not mess with Roenick's Wikipedia page.
Correct.
That's going to be a huge resource for us.
Before we get to who's back of the week, you had some breaking news that you wanted to break, but we had to start the show.
I do, yeah. This is actually
Wait.
Serious stuff, Hank. Breaking news. I don't know if the breaking news cow is actually appropriate for this because it's kind of serious.
It always is appropriate.
Otis Nixon has gone missing.
No.
The Woodstock Police Department has put out an APB for Otis Nixon. If you know
Woodstock,
Otis,
where Atlanta, Georgia?
Yeah, Otis. If you're listening to this, if you're an award-winning listener, Please turn yourself in. Your family is concerned about you. He went golfing on Saturday morning, and he never showed up at the course.
Okay, yeah. So, and let's maybe get Terry Pendleton into a safe house just in case.
Mm-hmm. John Rocker, you are on Terry Pendleton guarding duty.
Jeff Blauser and Mark Lemke will find him.
Yep. Jeff Treadway and Sid Bream. If you're hearing this right now, please call him up.
Please find Otis.
Ryan Klesko.
Yeah.
I know you don't have anything else going on.
No.
So find Otis.
Absolutely not. Let's keep Chipper out of it, though.
No, yeah.
I think Chipper's... Chipper, yeah. I don't want Chipper going searching for people.
Oh, Greg Maddux, go find Otis and wipe your butt on one of his undershirts.
Yeah, piss in his mouth, and it'll be a classic prank.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hope Otis is actually okay.
I'm serious about it. Like, Otis Nixon,
absolutely.
I love that guy.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Sorry to bring the mood of the show down.
All right, let's do our who's back. Who's back of the week? Who wants to start?
Hank, why don't you go first?
You can go.
I think you should go.
I mean, it's
a little standoff.
You got it.
Okay, my who's back of the week is geography. And it's a double whammy because geography is back because war is back.
Yeah.
So we're at war. We bombed Syria.
We're kind of at war.
Well, it's not war because Congress didn't do anything about it.
And also, I don't want to get too woke, but let's just say if anyone wants to know the real story here, just... hit up my email.
Or Kurt Schilling.
I've gotten very woke on the whole thing.
Yes.
I don't want to make this... I don't want to go down the rabbit hole here, but I'm way too woke.
So we are trying to crunch the numbers over here. We don't know if Syria has a McDonald's in it or not, because that would be a first, as we discussed on the show.
Yeah.
But this is how Americans learn geography, is when we go to war places.
Where's Syria?
So geography's back. That also means that night vision of bombs dropping, that's back.
Mm-hmm.
And reporters who want to fuck missiles, that's back. You hear Brian Williams say, oh, look at that beautiful missile. Oh, God, I want to just ride that thing.
There's nothing better than like CNN and MSNBC and Fox being like, okay, here we go. Here is visual evidence of the bombs that we just... shot off this cruiser, and it's going to go kill people. But look at that. It's pretty
beautiful
cool.
When
there
it
they
leaves,
are.
Isn't it?
Yep, they actually went.
Brian Williams looked like he wanted to Dr. Strangelove that missile and just ride it to completion as it was dropping.
Like, we believed you when you said that there was, 50 Tomahawk missiles launched.
Right.
We didn't need to see it.
It also means that reporters wearing khaki vests and reporting from rooftops is back.
Someone get Don Lemon to the Middle East.
Christiane Amanpour.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's ready to go.
All right, Hank.
My who's back of the week is shorts.
Yeah.
Very relatable.
That's good. I did that like 3 weeks ago, so thanks for getting on board the shorts train.
Yikes.
That was your who's back?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, go ahead.
My who's back of the week is shorts.
Okay.
I put on shorts for the first time this weekend.
How'd it feel?
Felt good.
Feels great, doesn't it? You
gotta maybe do some calf raises?
Eh.
I just want to point out that Hank's alleged shorts right now are actually, they look like capris, Hank.
It's a new style.
Okay.
You Italian?
No.
Forget about it. My who's back of the week is Rick Riley's Twitter game. So, Masters, big time. Who's back here with Rick Riley? He knows his golf, and he knows his Dustin Johnson jokes, and he went hard in the paint with his Dustin Johnson jokes. I'm going to give you guys a couple of the highlights. Rick Riley had stares to Dustin Johnson as the 12th hole is to Jordan Spieth. Little SAT there.
That's pretty good
for you. Is it fair to say Dustin Johnson is not a stairmaster?
Ooh,
I think that is fair. Charlie Hoffman is going downhill faster than Dustin Johnson on newly waxed stairs. I mean, this is. Are you guys sick of this yet? Because I got another one.
For each one of these tweets, I think he makes like $70,000. By the way, he's still getting paid
somewhere. Dustin Johnson is practicing his stairs. That's just a point, right? That was actually during the last round. So he was just like, you know what? Hey, if you forgot. Dustin Johnson fell down some stairs.
That last one was a heat check.
Yeah, that was a heat check. And then finally, Rick Riley had the always. Rick Riley is like perfected that old guy creepy thing where he just always has a way to like mention the significant other of someone. Mm-hmm. So he's like, unforgettable shot by CBS with Garcia in the foreground and his fiance in the background watching the putt. It doubled them both over. So I didn't even notice that. I was watching Sergio Garcia win the Masters, but Rick, he's always got the eyes on the chicks.
You weren't watching his fiance?
Yeah, it was.
Man card.
Rick's got some boners going.
Rick Riley, man, his Twitter account is amazing. Every now and again, he comes out of hibernation and tweets stuff as it's actually happening, and Masters Weekend is one of those, and it's unforgettable.
Ooh,
all the time.
I got a good one. Rick Riley, when he saw Sergio's fiance, probably waxed his dick as much as the stairs that Dustin Johnson fell down.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's
yeah.
a pretty good one. We'll put that in the drafts.
Yeah.
We'll save it.
Wow. That shot was superfluous, like Kate Upton's third boob.
And Dustin Johnson fell down some stairs.
Yes.
Rick Riley's back. So congrats to Rick. It was good to have him back. It's always good. Yeah. It's true, though. You bring up a good point. He makes millions of dollars for those tweets.
Yep.
That's awesome. Bonus, who's back? Power rankings. This is the second time we've done them in a week. So power rankings make a little resurgence on this show.
Power rankings showing up on the Mount Rushmores of recurring segments.
Yes. So we have a power rankings worst beat in the last 2 days. We have, here are the three that we have. The Mariners blew a 9-3 lead in the ninth to lose 10-9. Seven runs in the ninth.
Mm.
Seven runs. That's
pretty bad.
The Cavs blew a 26-point lead in the fourth quarter to the Hawks.
How does that even happen?
26 points.
How does a team score 26 points in a game that's inconsequential for them?
Yes.
That's number one.
Some consequence, but yeah.
Like I said, they're a red team in the East, so they're going to win maybe one series.
Right. And then the last one were the Knicks. This was the worst beat of all time, I think. And that's saying something. The Knicks were plus 12.5 against the Grizzlies. The game was over. The Knicks were down 10. They were covering. The Grizzlies were just dribbling the ball out. And then with like 3 seconds left, the Grizzlies player threw up a 40-footer just as like kind of a fun shot. Mm-hmm. As time expired, nothing but net. They won by 13.
That was a big fuck you moment to the other team. Yeah. In times like that, I wonder how long it took for him to realize what the spread of the game was afterwards. Because like someone's got to pull that guy aside on the way to the locker room and be like, hey, they're going to ask you a lot of questions,
right,
and here's why. Honorable mention goes to me for bad beat because I took the under in the National Phillies game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I unloaded on it, and then the Phillies unloaded on the Nats in the first inning and scored 12 runs right off the bat. So my sports gambling on Saturday was the Grandpa Simpson gif,
mm-hmm,
the one where he walks into the club,
nice,
puts his hat down, picks it back up, and leaves.
Classic.
That was me.
Classic. I would say the Knicks one's the worst,
except for
the fact that if you're betting the Knicks-Grizzlies with two games left in the season, that's one of those like, I kind of deserve what I get moments.
You're asking for
there,
some trouble.
Right.
But also, the people who were betting on that were probably trying to dig themselves out of
a
much larger hole. Then they have bigger problems out there than just gambling too much on the NBA.
It's like when you bet, like I'll bet spring training or like a soccer game in Denmark.
Yeah, or
and
a dog
I'll have
show.
A, yeah, and I'll have a bad beat and be like, damn it, I can't believe that bad beat. But you get what you ask for, and in this case, you probably ask for something like
that's
this,
right,
betting
you,
that
you go
kind
swimming
of
with the Sharks, you're going to wake up with a couple teeth in your calves.
Yeah, I'm going number one, the Cavs, though.
Okay, I'm going number one, Knicks, number two, Cavs, and then number three, baseball.
There we go. All right, let's do our interview with Scott Van Pelt. He broke down the Masters because guess what? We aren't actually golf guys. Spoiler alert, when we said we were golf guys at the beginning, we were joking. But Scott Van Pelt is a golf guy, and he can actually talk to us in an intelligent way about the Masters.
Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there is a simpler way to buy, and that's with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to your favorite team's games. With their seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. Sounds like my love life. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at all the best prices, fully guaranteed. With baseball starting up, NBA and NHL playoffs approaching, they're going to get you closer to the action for a great value. I've got the app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way that I've found to shop for tickets. I'm going to be going to some Caps playoff. I'm going to just go ahead and buy Caps Stanley Cup tickets right now, and I'm going to use SeatGeek to do it. They're going to save you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And they get you the most bang for your buck because they grade every ticket based on value. Best of all, my listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code TAKE, T-A-K-E, that's promo code TAKE, and you get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. This interview is also brought to you by MeUndies. MeUndies is the only underwear that I even wear anymore. I'm literally wearing them right now. Big Cat, are you wearing MeUndies right now?
I am.
Hank, are you?
Yep.
They are legit. I love them. I threw out all, I actually did some spring cleaning this weekend. Threw out all my underwear except for my MeUndies. They are that good, that comfortable. That is a guarantee. Now's a great time of year to be restocking, throwing out those old underwear that might have some holes in them, get some new ones. MeUndies is made with modal. It's the softest fiber known to mankind, I think. Regardless, it is the most comfortable underwear I've ever put on in my life. And best of all, they offer you free shipping on everything that you buy from them. And they're going to give you 20% off your first order, but you have to go to MeUndies.com/take. With a MeUndies Better Day Guarantee, you have nothing to lose. I always say it's always a good dick day in MeUndies. Go to MeUndies.com/take, 20% off your first order. That's MeUndies.com/take.
All right, we now welcome on our very, very good friend, recurring guest, Scott Van Pelt, who is here to talk to us about the Masters, because we are guys who don't know what the hell we're talking about when it comes to golf. I'm going to start with a question that's probably going to hurt you a little, Scott, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Here we go.
Okay. 2008, I'm sitting next to Scott Van Pelt, and I lean over and I say, hey, guess what? Tiger Woods isn't going to win another major, but Sergio's going to win a Masters. What do you think?
Well, if you would have told me in 2008 at the Masters that Tiger was never going to win another major, you would have been wrong because he won the next one.
Shit. So, ooh, fact check.
No, I meant like in 2008. I didn't say what day. December 31st, 2008.
Oh, my mistake. I thought you said the Masters. I'd have been shocked. I would have been shocked. But as far, I mean, for Sergio to win a major, that there's no shock in that.
Wait, are you serious? Because he even himself has said that he's like, he, in that quote that he had in, I think, 2012, he's like, I'm a loser. I get my own way. My time is past. I think there's at least a little bit of shock that Sergio won.
Well, but I think what you did is you tied my brain in a pretzel with the date because you said it was 2008, and then now you're telling me he said something in 2012 that I wouldn't have known in 2008, right?
True. Good point. I mean, we're time traveling now.
Let's take the dates out of it. Look, there's no doubt that Sergio has done a more damage to his own psyche than he needed to. I don't know how much anyone needs to, but he has. He's tied his own brain in a pretzel with looking for the – I keep saying it all week. Like, he kept looking for the boogeyman around every corner. He kept waiting for something bad to happen. He kept convincing himself that he wasn't supposed to do this. And, you know, as time passed, you thought, well, you know, hell, maybe he's not gonna. And so for him to break through, the most remarkable thing is the way people here cheered him on and willed him to win. Because he used to get heckled by American golf fans. He was not a guy that was really that well embraced, and people here clearly wanted him to win. And I think that's the fun part of the story, is to see a guy who's allowed to grow up and allowed to finally be what everyone thought he would years and years ago.
Yeah, and credit to Americans for having a guy who loses so much. Now we like him. So good job us helping the Spaniard win. Did you get a chance to talk to him after the round and kind of pick his brain about what went through his mind after he blew that putt on 18 and how he was able to refocus so quickly?
I did not. I was actually lingering prior to coming on to talk to you guys to see if I'd have that opportunity, because that was really what I wanted to know. Hey, when you thought you blew it, what'd you think then? But obviously, I mean, that's a short putt that looks like you ought to be able to make it. But I mean, these greens are you guys, I know you're not the biggest golf guys, but you're enough golf guys to know that it's really hard to make any putt out here. And when he missed that one, I just thought, well, I guess this is just his lot in life. It's never going to happen.
Were you worried going into the weekend that maybe ESPN was going to put Tony Romo on the call and send you back home?
Well, we only have Thursday, Friday. So as long as it didn't happen midday Friday, then I was good. But if Romo showed up, I would have taken him out. I mean, I would have gone, I would have blitzed. I would have blitzed from the blind side. You know, I got 2 days at this there, number nine. So let me just sit in the butler cabin for a couple of days. But as I said, Thursday, Friday, we were good. And I don't know when his official start date is. I think there's a lot of paperwork, you know, CFP to get started. Like, I don't know if you know, like Big Time Jay, like to really get like a TV gig, there's paperwork, there's elaborate health insurance forms and regulations. And
for
such,
Romo especially. A lot of health insurance stuff.
There you go. And if for and you know what? I don't even work for a network. I just work for cable stations, so I can't even imagine how elaborate the forms and such would be. So I wasn't that scared, but kind of.
Are you going, sticking kind of on Romo, are you going to miss Sergio Twitter? Because that's what we lost today. You know, the Masters got a great story. Sergio got his first major. But the world lost Sergio Meltdown Twitter.
But did it? I mean, I was watching it as it happened in real time. I saw Big Cat. I saw you. I mean, and I, you know, you weren't. I mean, I think you were pulling for him.
What I did was I did that thing where, like, I was. It was amazing at the end, and I was getting heckled in the office even because I was pulling for the meltdown, and then when he hit it, and I saw how happy the crowd was, and like how emotional he was, I was like, okay, that was a cool moment.
Right, because even, I mean, everyone can, we can all be cynical assholes, but then in our hearts, even if it's a tiny little Grinch heart, you're like, wow, if we like sports, and moments like that are worth waiting for. But, you know, it was fun to watch people have to try to walk it back. You know, here, this is who you are, Sergio. And here's the thing. He shot 69. Go ahead, PFT.
Nice.
And if he didn't win, he still shot 69.
Nice.
And so did Justin Rose. So it's like, if he didn't win, you couldn't say he didn't go out and play well. And, you know, seeing him go full Seve on 15 and make the eagle, I mean, I get that we lose the one, you know, one of the things on Twitter that we like to make fun of, but that means there are only now 8 million other ones.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, we'll move on to the next thing that we live to mock in the midst of it.
Steph Curry dropped the shoe today, so.
It's the Caps year.
Yeah, it's kind of evens out.
I saw people enjoyed that.
That is. It's like when they say, like, when the person dies, someone else is born. Sergio Garcia,
yeah, live,
meltdown,
live,
Sergio.
They sang a song about that, man.
Yeah.
And an old mother dies.
Right.
And there's a room down the hall.
Right.
Somebody else is born, and then you sing really loud, and then there's a chorus, and then there's a guitar, and there's a crescendo. That's what happens.
Exactly. Sergio Garcia, meltdown Twitter, died. Steph Curry, shoe roasting, was born again. It's beautiful. It's the way of life.
Yep.
A little birdie told me that Augusta has kind of gone the Dan Snyder route with things, and that they might be spray painting some of the grass green.
Oh.
Have you heard any of these rumors?
No. I walked around. Now, the fertilizer that's used, but that's at any golf course. Like if you go out and you play golf and there's stuff that where they fill in the divots and such, that's oftentimes green. But this place is immaculate. It defies any logic and reason. They don't like to discuss money. The term that is preferred is resources, and they have unrivaled resources. I mean, media loves to talk about media, and I'm sure you heard about the media center. It's the nicest place you've ever seen. I would like to live there. So I don't know about spray painted grass. I've seen nothing other than perfectly manicured azaleas and fairways and such. It's all quite remarkable.
We all talk about the pimento cheese sandwiches. What's number two on the menu?
Wait, is the pimento cheese sandwich overrated? Because I have a feeling it is.
I'm on record as saying it's not my thing. I tried it because it's like, hey, when in Rome. But when I'm a consistency person, and if I don't like the consistency, then I'm just not going to be able to get with it. And the pimento and cheese just doesn't work for me. But the they have a fried chicken sandwich that is unbelievable, and you could eat, I could eat, I don't know, five easy, like legitimately just eat five chicken sandwiches. That's the go-to.
What does the Butler Cabin smell like?
What would you guess?
I don't know. It's one of those things. Augusta's one of those places.
Institutional racism.
No, for the law, you see it on TV every spring, and like you said, it's immaculate on TV. It feels like this untouchable, like heaven-like place. So I've never been. I don't know if I ever will go. I'm probably not big enough of a golf fan. So I think of the Butler Cabin. I'm like, that must be like the gates, you know, the pearly gates.
It was, I mean, I get that there's lots of jokes, and I don't know how, I mean, we I don't know if I'm allowed to be serious, but I mean, if you're me and you get to do this and you get to sit in there and do your job for a few days, it's, you know, it's hard to imagine that you actually get to. But I mean, it's a, you know, it's, hold on, I'm walking through the woods.
Watch out for Slender Man. You were definitely in a treehouse today, weren't you?
No. I'm just wandering. I'm wandering for Big Cat and PST because I do appreciate you guys. What was it? It was about the cabin.
Yeah.
The cabin smelled like opportunity, Big Cat. Big time opportunity. Try to sit down and not screw it up, and hopefully I get to come back and do it again.
Yeah, I would say so. You killed it.
How about that?
How do they police the no phones allowed rule? Because I saw somebody, some joker, while Sergio was hitting his putt on 18, in the background there was a guy with a cell phone who was like sneakily videotaping it. How do they police that, and what happens if you get caught with a cell phone?
I think it would. If some patron was found with one that wasn't meant to have one. Like, there's a little sticker that I'm allowed to have mine because I suppose as a media member, you're supposed to have one or something. Or you're allowed to. I don't know. But if that guy got found or whoever it was with it, it'd be a bad deal. But it's 2017. Like, how can you truly think you can police someone having how many thousand people there are out here? You don't think someone has a phone? Somehow or another, they're going to get one in. But like at the Open Championship over in Scotland, everyone has them.
Right. So
it's lawlessness, chaos.
I don't love that move by the Masters. It's 2016. You got to be able to have your phone out.
16?
Yeah, it's 2016. What about Bubba Watson? The whole story that broke. He kind of took a shot at us. He took a shot at the real working men, the people who make sports. Sports, mm-hmm. Because without journalists,
did he walk that back? Did he say something like did he apologize?
He tried to.
Yeah, it was
his publicist was like, "Hey, yeah. Bubba, you made some pretty powerful enemies when you went after bloggers,
right?"
And so he went out. He made a cute little video on Saturday morning to try to apologize.
So have you played Augusta?
I have actually.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're the perfect person to ask. Harder job, writing or like being on TV, being a journalist or playing Augusta.
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, you know, I don't know if Bub understands about the content churn, you know?
Correct.
He doesn't know about
blog never sleeps.
Exactly. He didn't know about grit this week. I mean, he's never sprinted and chugged milk and puked. I mean, has he done that? Does he know about chaw dogs?
Right.
I mean,
I think Bubba might know about chaw dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but could he pee on demand?
Nope.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. These are skill sets that are not common. And I think need to be, I mean, the business isn't respected, but what happened? I think he realized quickly he's made an error in judgment. And I think you'll see a newfound respect from Bubba in the future.
Okay. That's good. That's good that we keep those guys clean. What did you shoot when you did play?
I broke 100. It was awful. I didn't hit the ball well at all, but there's nothing worse than the guy that's going to tell you about his round because no one cares shot for shot, but it wasn't good. It was I was embarrassing is what it was, but it was still, I mean, you know, the unbelievable thing where you're walking around on the cart, going the golf course, playing it, and you can't believe that you actually get to. So it was cool.
They don't let you drive a cart on that course, do they?
No.
I'm out. No
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, true. And then, you know, shirts, I mean, I don't know.
Shirts some for skins?
Some places will go where I play, like par 3 golf, a lot of shirts off. That's probably frowned on here. We didn't. Mm-hmm. We kept them on. We kept them on throughout.
All right. Quick last two questions. The first one I had was Jordan Spieth. Does he now have a boogeyman at the Masters? Because this is the second straight year. Obviously, it was famous because he was in the lead and that 12th bit him last year. And then this year, it kind of just all unraveled after he had a good Saturday and everyone thought he was going to be able to chase the leaders.
Yeah, he played badly here today. And by the time he got to the 12th and hit it in the water again, it didn't matter because he was so far back. He had to try to fire at every flag anyway. But, I mean, he's played here four times. I think he's finished second, first, second, now like 11th, I think it was. So he was positive afterwards. He almost always is. It is just kind of a weird deal there. He plays well Thursday, Friday, Saturday on 12, and then Sunday he's hit it in the water four different times. That's kind of an odd just an odd trend. But he's 23 and he's already won here once and almost won here two other times. So I don't think that he's carrying around a whole lot of baggage at the moment.
What about, I had a theory that he's okay with not winning because then he doesn't have to take off his hat and show that he's follically challenged at 23.
Man, people ride my guy because his hair is sort of, you know, as a guy that's lived it, I like Luke Kennard this year, watching Luke for Duke, like he couldn't stop playing with his hair, you know, and I wanted to just hug him and say, buddy, it's okay. It's all right. It happens.
You can paint it on.
Seriously.
Yeah, you can do the Cebu.
Like,
yeah.
Luke Kennard, he never stops kind of pushing his hair, and Spieth does the same thing when he takes his hat off. He kind of gives you that deal, and it's like, I mean, look at me. Somebody pointed out this week, and it's true, that my head not only is bald, and it's so lumpy that I look like a beluga whale. I do. My head is like a beluga whale. And I'm just, you're sitting there in the butler cabin and you catch a side glimpse of yourself and you're like, wow, this is really cool. I'm having a moment. I'm in the, oh, wow, look, my head looks like a beluga whale. That's no good.
I forgot that you're an Under Armour guy. We have a theory on this show. There's an Under Armour curse.
Big curse. Steph Curry. What's Jordan Spieth. Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. You want me to go on? I can keep going.
Steph Curry's shoes.
You mean Tom Brady, Clayton Kershaw? You mean guys that like win MVP?
You kind of broke up. You're come out of the woods.
Where are you in the woods now? We can't hear you.
Yeah, they win everything, you mean?
All right.
I actually have a real question. You said that everybody in the stands was kind of, they were getting behind Sergio, the gallery was. What was the sentiment from the other golfers? Were they Sergio guys, or did they want to see Rose win?
I think, hold on a second, are you looking for me? Okay. I think it was really popular with, I think it was really, really popular. Like you saw Rory, you saw Tiger, you saw a bunch of the big time guys kind of tweeting out their support. Justin Rose is as classy a guy as there is in the game. And you saw it before, during, and after. And had he won, people would have been thrilled. But the guys that truly know what it is to go through this and to struggle and to try to win and how hard it is to win, they were definitely happy for Sergio, and the galleries were happy for Sergio. And the guy said that he'll walk taller without a chip on his shoulder because he's carried around a lot of baggage, man, and a lot of it was his own creation. So it was definitely a popular win with the people that were here and definitely with his peers.
I just want to say I like the way that you say Sergio.
Yeah, I do too.
Can you say it again?
Sergio.
Yeah, Sergio. Nice. All right, last question because we have to ask it because it's golf. Tiger Woods, will we ever see him put on the green jacket again? I like to really nail it to the – it's – I love Tiger. Tiger's why I started watching golf, but we've had this discussion both on and off air, Scott. At some point, you just got to let it go and stop thinking that Tiger's going to walk through that door because it's not going to happen.
I'm sighing because I realize that you're probably right. I mean, is he going to win here again? I don't know how. I mean, just look at the list of people that I think could win here every year. And look at the list of guys that haven't. Like, Dustin Johnson should probably win here. Hasn't yet. Rory's probably going to win here. Hasn't yet. Justin Rose should win here. Hasn't yet. Those guys aren't going anywhere. Jordan Spieth's going to keep coming back for 30 years. You know, Fred Couples is 57 and still plays and has a chance. So, I mean, is he going to win here again? The odds of it happening are very, very small. So I just like to see the guy get healthy enough that he could play for a week and not have his back act up. So do I think he's going to win this tournament again? I don't. No, I don't think he's going to.
Now I depressed myself. That was actually like that backfired on me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we were so happy with Sergio.
Sergio.
But it's not even like I'm rolling my R. I'm just saying Sergio.
No,
how else do you say it?
Yeah,
Sergio.
Barcelona.
Sergio from
Messina. I'm not giving you the TH. I'm not giving you the Olafable TH. Don't act like I am. Olafable. Don't act like I'm being a clown. Don't act like that. I'm just saying the guy's name. I thought.
You say it nicely. You say it like a broadcaster. We're just podcasters. Thanks, there's a big difference.
That's true. That's true.
Speaking
you guys
of which,
have freedom and can cuss.
Speaking of which, are you back? Are you back on our televisions tomorrow night?
No, hell no. I'm on vacation for a while. I'm going to go hang out and sit in the sun and get my big beluga whale head even more freckly and red and horrible to look at.
Okay, when are you back?
A week from tomorrow.
Who's okay. filling in for you on SportsCenter? Do you need us to drive over to Bristol?
Yeah, we can do it.
We'll fill in.
We'll do it with Stanford
Steve.
I think
what you guys did is you came in and you did the hair swirl and the dab and you in the cafeteria. I mean, you it's like a one and done. I mean, you're like freshman at Kentucky. What else is there to prove?
True.
You know, you did it and you saw it. You're like, okay, we did that. What's next?
You can't steal the nation's heart more than once.
You know what Scott just did? Scott just very politely told us, hey, I'm afraid that you're going to steal my job, so stay out of my hometown.
No, that's not what I did.
Hey, Scott. Hey, you know what, Scott? Go ahead and take another vacation. You know who hasn't taken a vacation? Pardon my take. Huh.
Yeah, you guys just keep churning out content. That's a good point.
Take a long spring break. That's fine, yeah.
Huh, yeah, just say. Yeah.
Firefighters maybe, and teachers don't take spring breaks.
Would be a real shame if you never came back. Huh.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll just I know where you guys work. I'll come sit in your you can have my job and I'll come take care of
it. Okay, that's fair. All right, Scott, thank you so much for actually talking to us about golf in a real way, because we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
It's
and
my
we appreciate
pleasure.
It. So,
all right, you guys be well until next time, all right?
Thanks,
all right,
Scott.
Thanks. That interview was brought to you by Pardon My Take. Pardon My Take has all the new gear you want. We have Joe Flacco shirts. We have the Sorry shirts that were a good seller, great seller. Stickers, tie-dye, everything you need. Larry.
Chaw dogs. You name it.
I can just keep going on.
Football guys.
Yeah. The football guys. We have all the cool stuff from Pardon My Take, your favorite podcast, in the Barstool Sports store. T-shirts, sweatshirts, stickers, tank tops, everything. So go right now, barstoolsports.com/PMT. Buy it. Show everyone that you're award-winning listener.
Yeah,
and then
that's
you can
the
tell
thing.
People to suck your dick.
Yeah, when you see somebody else in public wearing a Pardon My Take shirt, be like, hey, suck my dick. That's how we say. Unless, if it's a girl, don't say that.
Yeah.
That's harassment. Say, sup.
Sup. Would you like to suck my dick?
Mm.
Okay, we'll cancel that. But maybe we'll put on a shirt that says, hey, I'm an award-winning listener, Pardon My Take. Why don't you suck my dick? I think that rolls right off the tongue. People would wear that. So either way, check out barstoolsports.com/PMT. We'll have new shirts all the time in there, so we're going to keep updating it. You might see that Suck My Dick shirt. All right, let's get to some segments. First up, we have a brand new segment called Shoe Roast. And guess what? It's for Steph Curry.
Yep.
Stop me if you heard this before. Steph Curry dropped a new shoe that got roasted by the entire internet.
Yes, and I think I lied last week when I said that Tony Romo interception Twitter was my favorite Twitter.
Yeah.
I think shoe roasting Twitter might be my new favorite right now. It was great because everyone comes out of the woodwork behind a common goal, and that's to make fun of a millionaire's sponsored shoes, and it's great.
So we had actually a debate on our text chain, and we differ. I actually don't think they're the worst shoes.
They're
so
pretty bad,
if you see if you haven't seen them, they're basically they're called the Oxblood Leather, and they look.
It's just reading the name of the that shoe.
Yeah, that didn't
sounds
help.
Like you're roasting.
That didn't
them.
Help. That didn't help my case. they basically look like if you close your eyes and envision a TV show trying to make a man cave set. The brown chairs that they pick. Mm-hmm. That's what the shoes look like.
Right. They look like Timberland came out with the Fruit Roll-Up Sixes.
Yes, exactly. So, but here's the thing. First of all, they're on brand for Steph Curry. Steph
lame.
Curry
yeah.
is a lame goober.
Yep.
Like, that's what his brand is. So, I actually don't think that they're, like, I'd be shocked if Steph Curry came out with cool shoes.
Mm-hmm.
He is like, you know, the guy who has to brag about being a dad all the time and, you know, chewing his mouth guard and all that crap.
Yeah.
So I really hate him, even though I just picked like two really innocent things there.
Yeah, he's got a family.
Yeah,
and he protects his teeth like an idiot.
You know what? Fuck him. But
the shoes look like something that you would wear to like a baptism if you were in juvenile detention.
So what they look like is what every single NFL analyst wears on NFL Live.
Yep.
So, but
that's a pretty good roast. Right?
Okay.
You're roasting.
No,
you don't even know
roast,
that you're roasting.
Because that's like a regular shoe. That's just a regular shoe you wear with a suit. I also think, as a stay woke, I do think that Steph Curry, there's an element where Under Armour is like, we're never going to be the cool shoes, so we'll release some bad pictures again, let everyone roast us. How are you going to get publicity for Steph Curry's shoes other than letting the internet roast you?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So that is a valid point, and I think we made that when he came out with the white ones. And I went into Under Armour, and I was like, hey, can I try on the chefs? And the lady was like, haha, really? Are you serious?
Right.
Because everyone else just
they're
comes.
Gag.
Everyone comes in here and takes pictures of them and leaves, and
yeah.
they don't actually try them
it's
on.
Good branding.
I was like, yeah, I'll try them on.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm probably going
to
buy them.
Right. Or they'll be sent to us. Wink.
Please.
Yeah. But I also just want to throw out there that it might become problematic to roast Steph Curry.
Why?
Well, if you notice, his father is black and his mother's white. Mm-hmm. And I think that people might be roasting him because of a race thing. So it's problematic in my mind.
Oh, so like dad to dad between
yeah.
you and Dell.
I'm just saying, when you go to roast Steph Curry, just think about how problematic you could be right now.
Okay. It's pretty woke on your part.
It's you understanding how problematic Twitter can get at okay. many times. It's problematic.
Okay.
That's our new segment,
wait,
problematic.
Wait, are you saying that if you're a white person, you shouldn't roast, or if you're a black person,
no,
you
I think
roast?
Both sides, yeah. Unless you have a black father and a white mother, you can't roast Steph Curry. Otherwise, you're being problematic.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Yeah. Hank, you said you were saving your thoughts for it.
I don't think they're that bad.
Yeah.
That's all I was saying.
I wouldn't
wear them and buy them myself. But like the way the internet freaks out about
right.
them, like it's the worst thing in the world.
Right.
There's been much worse.
If you release
NBA
those without
player shoes,
right, without Steph Curry's name,
yep.
I don't think it gets the same reaction.
Here's my theory: is releasing a picture of shoes, it's like putting a picture of your thumb out there. I've said this before, but thumbs, you can't take a good picture of a thumb. When you throw the internet a picture of a shoe, you're basically throwing raw meat into a wolf's den.
Right.
Right.
Well, and also, if you notice, the shoe pictures that are put out there are specifically the side shots, never
mm-hmm.
the overhead shot. The overhead shot, it looks like a regular shoe.
Well, yeah, every person's shoe looks good from overhead.
Right. That's
like,
that's how you see him.
It's like
that's how you see him.
Everyone's dick
be
looks
yourself.
Good in MeUndies.
Yeah, that's how you see him, man.
Right.
It's like the crying Jordan though. Like the first time his
yeah.
shoes came out, everyone roasted him. It was
right.
funny. So now the second time the shoes came out, everyone tried to roast mm-hmm. him to be funny, but it wasn't as funny.
Again, another problematic point.
The shoes weren't
the crying Jordan.
The hive mind of the internet.
Yeah.
You guys all just piling on for no
mm-hmm.
reason.
Hmm. Give him a chance.
Yeah, I thought you were an independent thinker.
I actually think that somebody brought up a good point to you, Big Cat. And that's your new love of BMW. You're a luxury guy now?
Oh, yeah.
So BMW, people forget,
yeah.
Hitler kind of ran BMW.
True. That's why I've bought
so are you
Bentley,
saying?
I bought a Bentley hat, a Ferrari shirt, and
oh, yeah,
a Jaguar.
Ferrari, Italian,
yeah,
Mussolini.
The things happen.
Hmm.
History. Oh.
World War II, things happen. That's what's in German textbooks, actually.
Yeah. You would know because you're the big Hitler guy.
Yes.
All right. Next up, we have a spin zone for the Texas A&M wide receiver. Was he a wide receiver?
Yes.
Football player. He was charged with indecent exposure because he was, what was he doing? He was sitting with a tutoring session.
Yep.
And he had his dick out, maybe
well,
masturbating?
Well, no. If we read the police report, he pulled out the head of his penis and part of the shaft outside of his shorts.
Very graphic.
And rubbed it. So that he could have been doing that for any number of reasons. We
mm-hmm.
don't know. We're
mm-hmm.
not here to cast aspersions. And then the next day he actually did it again and held it in his bare hand.
Mm-hmm.
The police report says he held it in his bare hand as opposed to the normal sheathed hand, the penis glove
right.
that guys wear.
Uh-huh.
So he had an all-time spin zone for it and said he just had jock itch.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
Which I buy that. Jock itch is like diarrhea.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just say it, then everyone's like,
yeah,
I don't want any part
of
that.
Okay, you got some kind of fungus.
Uh-huh.
Did they not want to go with the just guys being dudes?
No,
okay.
I guess
because
not.
That also falls under the guys being dudes, just whipping out your dick.
Right, it was locker room talk. It was a tutoring session.
Yeah.
Also, when you wear sweatpants, like you kind of have to like touch your dick. I don't know about pulling
okay.
it out, but
no, yeah, you're right. That's. You know what? This is going to be problematic for some people, but it's the truth. Hank hits the correct point. Don't ever pull your dick out. That's way too far. But if you're wearing sweatpants, see how long you can wear sweatpants without putting your hands down your pants. I'd say maybe 2 minutes.
Maybe. Well, yeah,
maybe.
If you're lucky.
It's just it's
there's a lot of adjusting
hard.
That
That's
goes
very
on.
Very hard.
Yeah. Sweatpants, they put you in, they almost hypnotize you
right.
into just
right.
getting in your most comfortable state.
Right.
And so naturally, guys' hands just gravitate down there. It's
yeah.
not like a sexual thing. It's like sometimes you just grab your dick.
Yeah, he forgot he was in a tutoring session.
Mm-hmm.
It
was boring.
Yeah. Books are boring.
Ooh, maybe it was a human sexuality class.
Oh.
And he was demonstrating.
Show and tell.
Yes.
Like second grade. All right, we have a Tebow update. Second home run in his career. He hit one his first at bat, his very first at bat, he hot dogged it and said that he thought he hit a double, which was really just his way of taking more time around the bases.
Mm-hmm.
But Tim Tebow, are we officially like, should we watch out for Tim Tebow?
I'm 100% on board the Tebow bandwagon.
This is Class A, first of all. So this is really bad. Like, this is low, low minors.
You got two A's. You don't have one. I'm totally on board with Tebow. And he's putting one in Theo Epstein's ear hole. Because remember, Theo said that he would not have Tebow on his team. My favorite little detail of the first one was that the pitcher that he hit it off of was drafted 666th
yes.
in the draft. So Tebow beats the devil into submission again.
Oh, my God.
There's nothing that you can say at this point about Tim Tebow that is too wild for me to believe. You can make up any rumor about him doing something great, and I will believe it.
What is he going to do in the fall when he's supposed to be back on the SEC Network?
Oh, win a World Series?
Yeah, I guess so.
He'll be putting a ring on his finger?
That's
yeah.
a stupid question. We next up have a little trouble in paradise for Olivia Munn and Aaron Rodgers. Looks like they're broken up, mm-hmm. and we got to worry, right? Aaron, without Olivia, he's going to be in trouble. He won a Super Bowl without Olivia. But I crunched some numbers. Did you see the numbers I crunched?
No.
The Aaron Rodgers versus the Bears while dating Olivia Munn. The Bears were 1-5, so Aaron Rodgers went 5-1 against the Bears. Before he was dating Olivia Munn, he was 10-3. So the Bears, they win like one extra game every 3 years when he's not dating Olivia Munn, so he should probably watch out.
So the Bears are back is what you're telling
yes.
me right now.
I was really depressing to look that up, that the Bears are 4-15 lifetime against Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, it also takes away Aaron Rodgers' favorite excuse, which is either that he's having too much sex with Olivia Munn uh-huh. or not enough sex. It goes back and forth. It's
right.
like the Mike McCarthy play calling thing.
Right.
Once every 6 months, it's like, oh, we don't have sex before games, or we had a lot of sex last year. You know,
right.
like, he has a lot of different things that he likes to pull out there.
Do
so,
you think what happens with the all the gifts that he was planning on giving back to his family, all the Christmas gifts? Do you think?
Ooh, yeah. I think she's probably, if she's smart, she'll just like pack up her U-Haul with all those packages that
yes.
are still yet to be returned.
Yes.
Yeah, so she's going to get a windfall from this.
Next up, we have a bad visual. This is for the NBA logo. It turns out Jerry West doesn't want to be the NBA logo anymore. He said that he regrets everyone finding out that he was the NBA logo, or is the NBA logo, and that he wants people to move on, and that it was flattering, but it's time for a new one.
Probably the least racist thing about me is that my whole life I thought that the NBA logo was a black guy.
Wow.
So
you're very, wow, that's really big
of
you. It's
really progressive of me.
Yes, very progressive of
yeah,
you.
Yeah, even though the outline is like literally white.
You just assumed the basketball player was a black guy. That was very progressive of you.
We'll cut that part. we'll cut this. We'll edit this to make me seem less racist.
So you were Michael Scott asking Stanley to play in the game. What do we have for the new logo? You got any thoughts?
Well, yeah, my first thought, I photoshopped this, but it's Delhi celebrating with a Corona and the Hawaiian
okay.
the Hawaiian shirt. I think that would be pretty good.
Okay.
Or JaVale McGee airballing a dunk somehow.
Mm.
That would be nice.
That would be good. I threw down LeBron not getting called for a foul. That would be a good one. Just maybe the ref just sitting there with the whistle in his pocket. Also, if we want to do the refs, my GIF shirts, which GIF, whatever, mm-hmm. Which technology, science hasn't caught up to my brain, so they haven't made them yet, but it'd be cool if it was a GIF shirt of a guy traveling and the ref not calling it.
Ooh, that's good, yeah.
Or it could just be a guy not trying on defense. I don't know how you do that exactly in a logo, but I'm sure we could get
it. Why don't we just have it be the hockey handshake line, or just a bunch of hockey players?
Yeah.
What about Ron Artest choking that fan?
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. I like that one.
Yeah.
Or Spencer Hawes scratching off a lotto ticket and then getting traded to, we'll call it this time, the we'll just send him down to the Hornets.
Ooh, what about it just a Lisa mattress, because the guys are just resting now all the time. No one's actually playing games.
I like it.
Yeah. Just some ideas we're throwing out there. We next up have a Big Ben update. This broke on Friday. If you didn't see it break, it's probably because you are one of 10 million people who are blocked by Big Ben on Twitter. I didn't think that was actually Big Ben on that Twitter account.
Oh, yeah.
And he broke that news on it. Everyone, like, is there anyone who's not blocked?
No, everybody's blocked.
I've been Jose Bautista.
Right. I've been blocked by Big Ben for about 4 years now.
I never tweeted him.
Yeah, I found pretty quickly that 90% of people that follow me on Twitter are also blocked.
Yeah,
by Big
so
Ben.
If you so do a quick check on your Monday when you get bored at work, see if you're blocked by Big Ben. and see if you're followed by Jose Bautista. If you get both, you are the most basic bitch on Twitter.
That's absolutely
that's
correct.
Actually it.
But yeah, it was breaking news, but it was the least surprising breaking news of all time. Big Ben just realized, it's football season almost again, so I guess I'm not retired.
He just
because I'm a football player.
He literally heard the birds like start to chirp for the first time outside of his window. Yeah. He's like, oh, it's football season.
Yeah, a bee landed on his hand. Ooh, it's springtime.
Stung him, and he didn't even realize
Big Ben. Oh, yeah. He put on a walking boot when the bee stung him, and he was like, time for me to play football.
This is 2016 will be remembered as the year of non-retirement. Retirement announcements.
I like to think that Ben went into this offseason thinking he was going to pull a Brett Favre and keep everybody in suspense, but he's so inept at doing anything that like nobody gave a shit.
Yeah, and then he just announced it he didn't even
on a Friday afternoon.
He didn't even sit out of like the mini camp.
Right.
He wasn't even like actually mulling retirement. He was retired from football for like 7 weeks.
Yes. He sandwiched his tweet in between our nation announcing that we were bombing Syria, and then Sergio winning the Masters. So he nestled it right in that hot spot.
To millions of people who are blocked from him.
Yes.
Wow, really? Way to grab the headlines, Big Ben. That's the ultimate Big Ben.
I sincerely hope that Big Ben brings back the fedora next year. If you're out there, Ben, just wear the fedora, man.
Rate your Big Ben looks. Fedora's number two. Actually, fedora's number two. Number three is Big Ben carrying P.F. Chang's onto planes. Mm-hmm. Number one is that slick back look that he did. That he was like the human embodiment of like a loogie. That was what he looked like. It was the grossest look.
Also,
and then number four, broken nose Big Ben. When it's like he doesn't know if his nose is broken, yes, even though it's going seven different ways.
Broken nose Big Ben for me is number two behind fedora. Number three is when he has a concussion, but he doesn't know what a concussion feels like, so he just starts like chomping his teeth, trying to like bite his way out of the brain damage. And then another big fan, I'm a huge fan of his wedding pictures.
Yes.
Where he's got that shit-eating grin on his face. Love that one.
And number five, I can't forget this one. The Big Ben that comes out of his concussion test saying he nailed a concussion test, and then the doctor walking behind him and saying, you failed it.
Give me your helmet. Yeah.
That actually happened. God, I love Big Ben. I know some Pittsburgh fans are going to get mad, but it's comes from a place of love.
Kind of.
Yeah. Big Ben being like a goofy character that we can like make bigger than life is stupidity, which he probably isn't that dumb. It's fun.
I really hope that when he retires, he says that he's going to retire to pursue an acting career, and then he goes on like one TV show and just absolutely stinks at it.
That would be great if he was like a daytime soap opera guy. Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, that's it right there. You had one, before we get to our last segment, you had one that I forget. I didn't write down. It was a Respect the Biz. Was that right?
Yeah, Respect the Biz. This comes from a Rangers writer for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He was responding to a fan who used the term we when referring to the Rangers. He says, no self-respecting journalist/beat writer would/should be a wee guy, which I respect that. I mean, you're not part of the team.
So for the wee argument, I really think people who get this upset about it are worse than the people who say wee. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those situations where it's like, I'll say wee sometimes. I won't even think about it. I'll just say it. And if you get that upset about it, I'm not saying it like I'm part of the... Everyone knows I'm not part of the team.
Don't refer to the United States as we unless you're an actual senator, bro.
Right.
Okay?
Right. It's a little ridiculous.
Don't refer to the Rangers as we unless you've had a buddy jerk you off to haze you.
The only argument that I think is valid, and I think I've probably done it before, and a lot of fans do it, is it's we when we're winning and they when we're losing.
Can't have it both
ways.
That's
not fair. That's not fair. Mm-hmm. So, but if you're a consistent wee guy, I don't give a fuck.
Hank, are you a wee guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a wee man?
Who cares?
Buying the team.
Yeah, okay. Who cares?
Okay.
It's one of those things that I never understood. People who like go, well, actually, you're not actually on the team.
You didn't see any Northwestern reporters talking about we during their postseason run this year.
Right. They built that.
Figure it out, guys.
All right, last one. I actually don't know if we've done this, but I had to do it because it popped in my head randomly over the weekend. Is he dead yet? So we do this every now and then. A guy or a girl who may be deceased and we don't know. Don King.
Ooh.
Is Don King dead?
Still alive.
Still alive.
I'm going still alive, yeah.
I Don King, searching it. He is, looks like he might be still alive.
All right, sweet.
I thought he was dead.
No, he is alive because he's a big Trump guy. Remember?
Oh,
during
yeah.
the election, he came out. That was in the time period where it was really fun to guess who the next Trump celebrity was going to be. If it was going to be like Jose Canseco, Don King. Don King was the most obvious Trump yeah. celebrity of all time.
Yeah, he's a showman. Mm-hmm. 85 years old. I thought for sure he was dead.
Is he still rocking the hair?
Yeah, he is. He might be one of those people. See, you know what it was? When George Foreman sent out that weird tweet, it was like, all your friends are dying, but I'm still living, which was a very, very strange tweet by George Foreman. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh yeah, Muhammad Ali and Don King, dead.
These are all people that he got into fights with, though.
Yeah.
So they're not friends, right?
Well, I mean, I guess, no, I think he was saying, like, they're friends.
That's how guys do. If you beat each other up enough, right. you become bros. You have that respect.
Over the years.
Yeah.
All right, that's our show. Wednesday, we have Ernie Johnson. So yeah. I'm excited about this. It was actually, we taped it, and it was a great interview.
Come on, Ernie.
He is on, like, the list of people who get it. Ernie Johnson probably had never heard a part of my take. He got it almost instantly.
Mm-hmm. He's a real pro.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to deal with Shaq and
Charles.
I was
going to say, he probably was like, these guys are just like the dumber version of Shaq and Charles.
That's saying something, but I think it's spot on.
Yeah.
So exactly. Ernie caught up pretty quickly. It's a great interview. Going to be a huge show Wednesday. And then Friday, we'll actually cut the
game. All right, we'll see you on Wednesday.
Love you guys.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.